Well, this might not be a thing that y'all deal with every day per se, but it's definitely something that comes up, honestly, at least once a day, give or take, perhaps for some of y'all more often than that. But this idea of how many calories does your body actually need in order to survive? It's a lot more precise, and don't take any offense to what I'm about to say next. But for the average woman, it takes about 2,000 calories. For the average man, it takes around 2,500. So, again, that's kind of generally speaking what you're looking at in order just to sustain your body, essentially, right? Again, as Gerald mentioned, you can definitely do more fine-tuned calculations, and there are lots of different tools and different things that you can input certain data packs into, and you can find out exactly what you're looking at here. But ultimately, what we are looking at here is each and every day, whether as a guy or girl, you're looking to consume anywhere from, again, 2,000 to 2,500 calories just for you to make it to tomorrow. Right, when we don't eat enough, it can actually have some serious side effects for our actual bodies. For example, like our bones can actually become softer, they become more brittle, they become easier for us to break if we just don't consume enough food. Our skin color can actually become more pale, right? It becomes more sickly, for lack of a better way of putting it. Your hair, it can become super thin, it can start to curl, even to the point where it may just start to fall out altogether. And your eyesight can start to become blurry, even to the point, especially at night, where you're basically just blind. And all of this is simply because you're not consuming enough food. And so the bottom line, if you want to do anything in the world, your first goal, your first priority is ultimately to eat enough food. Right? Before you can study well and excel in your grades, you need to make sure your body's fed. Before you can go out there and work and make that money, you need to make sure your body is fed. And this isn't like new information. At least I hope this isn't new information for you, right? I mean, all the way even back to 1943, Abraham Maslow, he created this pyramid that many of you guys may have learned or some of you are going to learn in high school called his hierarchy of needs. Maslow's hierarchy of need is what it's kind of known as, right? And at the very bottom, the firm foundation, as I can coin the song we just went after, the very bottom of that pyramid is our physiological needs. That's the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink. All of those things have to be met first before you can look at anything else you need, whether it be in different ways, physical, before you need a shelter, before you need a home, you're concerned, do I have enough food to eat? Before I start desiring, well, can I start becoming more artistic? Can I start developing musical skills? Like, if I don't have enough food, those things don't matter as much. And this is same as it has been all the way through and through history. And so it really begs the question, If this is how things have been, if our bodies have always been kind of a driving force, if this desire for food is such a high priority for us, isn't this something that we should be praying about? And the answer is actually yes. That's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. We are continuing in this series, Pray and Go, where we've been looking at, again, the power of prayer. And ultimately, again, Kenny, you might need to help me. I think this thing isn't clicking into it. So if you can just get me on the title slide, I'll take it from there, hopefully. But ultimately, we're looking at this power of prayer, right? And just seeing that in us as individuals, as we pray, as we continue to go to God in things, that ultimately enables us and really charges us to take the gospel forward. That as we see the power of prayer working in our lives in all aspects of things, that really tells us that we have something here for us and we have a gospel that has been given to us and we are charged to take that gospel and to go. Right, we started this all off looking at the Lord's Prayer specifically, right? We looked at this idea of if we're looking at our Father in heaven, right? We were looking at what it means, not just how we address God, right? It's not just our Heavenly Father. It's this faraway being. It's this distant God, this deity that we just worship. No, this is our Father. And more specifically, in Aramaic, as Jesus would have been speaking in, it was Abba. Right, this is our Father, our daddy even, right? But he is not just our daddy, our Father. He is greater than any earthly father that ever would have existed or ever will exist. And then after we found out how to address him, we saw, again, his hallowedness, right? That our Father in heaven, that hallowed be your name. Right, that he is set apart, he is sacred amongst everything else. That there is no one and nothing like our God. There is no other power greater than his. And then last week, if you were with us, our friend Mace, Brother Mace, he came and he brought us and he taught us the phrase, your kingdom come. Right? He showed us what it meant for us to really pray this, to really see that our hope is greater than this place that we're in now. And how do we even just mean this building, but just this world, that our hope is an eternal one, where we can see the will of God done in heaven, and we can see that now being brought down to earth. And that knowledge ultimately again gives us hope for today. That no matter what circumstance, no matter what thing we're dealing with, we have a hope beyond all other hopes. And so again, today we focus more on this theme idea, this idea of our daily bread. And so before we dive into that a little bit more, before we expound into what that really means, let's take a second and let's read just through. This is Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Again, this is more commonly, colloquially known as just the Lord's Prayer. And so I want to continue just reading through this from top to bottom so that as each week we kind of develop another phrase, another verse, however it kind of digs into, we continue just reading this and seeing the bigger picture and the puzzle kind of get fit more and more together. So it reads for us here, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm not pulling up in this, like, this thing is not working, but give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who have debtor, or as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And so with all the other phrases, and I've kind of taken them as a big picture kind of a thing. Like I've taken a look at, again, like our Father specifically, and then looking at hallowed be your name. Like what does that mean? But when looking at this particular one, with looking at give us this day our daily bread, there's a little bit of nuance that I want to tackle into this, that each word kind of has more specific meaning that may not be quite as evident as comparatively to the other ones. And so when looking at this, the first word that we see here is give. Right, and when reading that, it kind of sounds more like a demand, right? Like, give us this day our daily bread. Like, if I came up to you and said, hey, give me this, it doesn't sound like I'm asking you this. In a way, it is, ultimately, but it sounds more demanding, right? But if you look at the original word, the Greek here would have been translated and could easily also have been phrased as, grant us this day our daily bread. Right, this is still, although it may not sound as if it is, this is still, again, our asking of God, our requesting of God. Would you give us this day our daily bread? And I think it's important for us to remember that as we continue looking at these other petitions. This is kind of the first one that we look at here of asking for our bread. Then we'll ask for forgiveness and we'll ask us where God should lead us to. This first petition that we kind of see here is, again, it's a request, right? It's asking of God, would you give us our bread for this day? And I think it's easy for us just to get caught up on our own thing and forget that we're asking, we're requesting this of God. But this reminds me of this time when I was working as a waiter. I was a server in one of the restaurants back when. And we had, the way that we did our scheduling was basically we had this book. And if you put your name in the book and you put your date that you were looking at, that was kind of like, this is our PTO book. This is our request off book, right? And most of the time, again, the managers were really good about honoring those dates that you put in. But there were some occasions where this person had put the same date as this person, and you and all y'all are basically requesting the same day off. And so the manager has to sit there and look at, like, well, this person has first, this person has second, and you're third. So unfortunately, like, I know that you're asking this day off, but we can't really give it to you. But people would get mad sometimes. You'd be like, well, I put my name in the book. And the manager would have to remind us, like, hey, like, this is a request off book. This isn't a guarantee book, right? You're requesting the time off, and we're going to do our best to honor that, but that's not a promise. I'm not guaranteeing you that this day is given to you. Like, I have to make sure that this works, that this society, this I shouldn't say that big, this restaurant rather can function to make sure we have enough people to cover the tables that we have. And I think it's a necessary and frequent reminder for us to remember that we are praying to God. You know, we are not demanding anything. We are not forcing anything. We are requesting of God, would you give us this day our daily bread? I think last time I even got into it when we were talking about hallowed be your name. The last time I was here, I started talking a little bit of how a lot of times we get mad at God when he doesn't answer our prayer. Or even when he answers it in a different way than we expected. And I think that stems from this idea here, that we forget that, again, we are asking of God. We are not telling God. We are not demanding of God. We are asking of God. And when we keep that in mind, it frames and it helps us to remember that the answered prayers that we have, the things that we don't get, they are all, again, given to us and granted to us by our Father in heaven. So the second word that kind of pops up here that's given to us is us, right? Give us this day our daily bread. And I think Jesus is reminding us here that when we pray, we are praying communally, right? This isn't just us praying for myself. It's not just me praying by myself, but it's praying for the greaterment of all of us here. That when you pray, you are praying not just for yourself, but you're praying for the greater good of all of us here at West Houston. Now, first off, I want to qualify that doesn't mean that the things that are important to you don't matter. Right, that I guess I can't pray for the things that are stressing me out. I can't pray for the things that I'm worried about. No, that's not what that's implying. I think what Jesus is teaching us here is that the gospel is greater than just you and just me. That the gospel, again, is even greater than just us here at West Houston. That the gospel is greater than this neighborhood. Again, it's the gospel for the world. And so when we're praying, we're continuing to be reminded that this is a prayer for all peoples. The community is an essential part of our walk with Jesus. That it's together we shape and we mold ourselves into who Christ wants us to be. And it's together that we could do more good than any of us could do individually. In fact, if you look at the rest of it that's up here, everything else after this is in the plural, right? Give us this day our daily bread and lead and forgive us our debts and lead us not into temptation. Right? Everything in the rest of this prayer is all in the plural. It's all in this communal aspect. It's reminding us that the gospel is greater than ourselves. These two little letters here that form this us become the utmost of importance because it reminds us that it takes a community to grow. I used this idea before, so if you've heard it, again, it's because I've said it before in this case. But again, if you take a campfire, I don't know if you've been to one, if you enjoy them or not, but yeah, I think the biggest annoyance that any of us have with a campfire is when you stand at the campfire and you're like, this is nice, this is warm, and then suddenly you just receive this gust of wind and you feel the smoke and you're just like, I'm dying, like, I can't breathe, like your eyes start to water and I'm like, I'm supposed to be a man, but I can't help it, you know, like you're trying to struggle to get through, and you're like, okay, well, I feel the wind hitting me, I'm gonna go around, I'm gonna move around to this other side, and you go over to the other side, and then suddenly you're like, okay, this is nice again, and then all of a sudden, like, I feel the smoke again, you're like, why is the smoke following me? Fact of the matter is the campfire doesn't hate you. It's just physics. If you imagine nobody at the campfire, let's pretend that this is the campfire, right? If this is the campfire, the wind is basically making an upside down funnel, right? Cold air comes into the campfire and then hot air rises. And so if you come in and you block the fire, if you block the wind, now the fire is coming to you, right? And so it doesn't matter if you move over here, the fire comes to you. If you come over here, the fire comes to you. The only way you can make this effective is if you counter this by putting somebody on the opposite side, then the air goes back up again. If you get four people, you put them north, south, east, and west, and the air will continue to rise upward. If you get a group of 20 people, the best way to enjoy a campfire is to surround it equally from all sides, to enjoy the warmth of the campfire together, to enjoy the heat of the campfire together, to enjoy roasting s'mores and laughing and telling stories and enjoying the community that's around you together. If we imagine God as that campfire, the best way for us to enjoy God, yes, is individually, is to explore and to enjoy the depths of his love as we are as individuals, but it's to celebrate that together as a group. That's why we come together here in this place. That's why we gather and we sit and we sing songs and we listen to this word as a group, because ultimately, again, our goal as we grow in this community is to take the gospel greater than ourselves and take it to the rest of the world. So no matter where you move, no matter what happens, again, the gospel grows in us as a community. It grows in us, and this smoke that gets affected doesn't hit any of us, but instead just floats to the top, and we get to enjoy and share the gospel all around. The next word that I'm going to look at here is actually two, because this day and daily kind of imply the same thing. Both of these are temporal aspects of this prayer. That when we pray to God, we should be praying daily, essentially, is what Jesus is telling us. That Jesus is saying, this isn't just a one-and-done type prayer, right? You don't just make a prayer, you're good to go, don't worry about praying anymore. No. He's saying you should pray each and every day. Solomon, who's perhaps the wisest man to ever have come, he said that, I think, best in Proverbs 30. And I'm going to paraphrase it, basically. But he was praying to God, and he said, God, don't give me riches nor poverty. Because if I have riches, I won't depend on you. And if I have poverty, then I'll steal and I won't depend on you. Instead, just give me what I need for this day. Right, I think that's the same sentiment that we need to be having here, that we should be aiming for constant, daily dependence on God. And I think when we look at a daily dependence of God, probably one of the easiest examples that came to mind for me was in Exodus 16, when the Israelites, they're wandering through the desert. They're hungry. They're in the desert. There's barely any food for all of them that are wandering around. And they're complaining. They're upset. And they ask Moses, like, what are we going to do? We're going to die. We're starving here. And so God makes manna. He makes bread fall from the heavens. And interesting enough, manna, if you look at the word itself in Hebrew, again, it's transliterated into Greek. So that's where we get the word manna from. But when you look at the original Hebrew, the word itself is manhu. And actually what they were basically saying is like, this bread is falling from sky. Like, what is it? Manna is basically translated as what is it? They're asking like, what is this bread? And if you look at historical documents and people trying to document like what this manna was, they basically said it tastes like dough that was wrapped and baked in oil. And they may not have had a word for it back then, but we do now. It's called a donut hole, right? That's basically what manna is. It's dough fried in oil for us, dropped from the heavens, little raindrops of dough given to us from God. But I joke about that all aside. The fact of the matter here is that we looked at these Israelites and they were given an instruction when it came to manna. They were said, take only what you need for this day. Right? Don't come and bag up as many bags as you can. Don't try to gather as much as you can, as much as your hands can hold. He said, no. Just take what you need for your family for today. In fact, even just going on beyond that, if they tried to take more, it always spoiled. It never survived more than a day. But every single morning, they awoke and they arose and they saw new manna to receive. The only time they were to gather more was on the Sabbath, when they weren't to do anything but to worship God. They would gather 2 days worth of manna. And so even here in the Old Testament, even here with the Israelites, we have this example set before us of our daily dependence on God. So much so that he said it twice. Give us today our daily bread. Twice Jesus emphasized that we're looking at God's provision for us to this day. We are looking for our daily bread. From there, that leads us to the last word that I want to look at here. If we are to pray for our bread, and we're supposed to pray for that bread daily, then what does bread really mean? Are we literally just praying like, can I have bread? Like, am I being like blasphemous if I ask for more? Am I being blasphemous for asking for other things that I might need? In studying this, I love the way that Dr. Steve Lawson, he's a pastor over in California, he said that when it comes to praying our daily bread, it's recognizing that we pray for our needs and not our greeds. And that when we pray for our daily bread, we're asking for God for our utmost necessities. Right? We aren't praying for auxiliary things. We aren't praying for things that we're praying for things that we cannot live without. The question part that comes up with that is what I need to live is going to be different than what you need to live and what the person next to you needs to live. For example, some people, maybe here, maybe outside, again, what they're needing right now is their needs for this day, literally. I'm concerned of how I'm going to put dinner on the table tonight. I'm concerned about making my bills work out, that will I have enough money to pay for my electricity, to pay for my car note that I need to get to work? Do I have enough money to pay for rent? These are things that are part of my daily bread, the things that are necessities for my life to continue. Now, at the same time, there are people on the other side of that spectrum who say, you know what, like, I've got quite a bit of food in my pantry. I'm not really worried about what's on the table for dinner tonight. In fact, I've got a pretty decent, like, 401k stacked up, and I'm making investments where I can. Like, I'm doing pretty well as far as I can tell in terms of what I need for this day. So what does it mean for you to pray for your daily bread? I think praying for your daily bread at that point is praying that God continue to sustain. Right? Praying our daily bread for you might mean, God, that just keep me in good health. And I don't think it's by accident that right after this section, Jesus tells his disciples not to worry or have anxiety about tomorrow. That you may have things taken care of for you today. Right? That Jesus, of all people, he's not the person who's going to let you go hungry. He'll take 2 loaves and 5 fish and turn it to feed 5,000 men. So you're not worried about food. But nonetheless, don't worry about the issues of tomorrow. Don't worry if you have things taken care of for you today. Don't stress out and be anxious of things for tomorrow. For again, if God has been faithful for you today, he will be faithful with you tomorrow. And so continue to pray for his sustenance for you today. Continue to pray that he keeps you. He gives you good health. He continues to hold you and guide you and be with you in all the physical things of this world that we have to deal with. I mean, that's just a little glimpse of just how we can see our daily bread just to be interpreted in multiple ways. So as we come to a close, as we have our communion here in just a second, let me recap a little bit for us here. We recognize that we are asking God here for our daily bread, right? This isn't a demand, but this is a request. This is asking God, will you provide for us our daily bread? And we see this is a communal ask. Right, this isn't just praying for my daily bread. It's praying for our daily bread. This prayer in its entirety is really for our community. It's not just for ourselves. And we continue to see that this is a daily prayer, right? That we pray for it this day. And tomorrow, you pray for tomorrow's bread. And for the day after, you pray for that day's bread. We make this prayer each and every day. That we continue to depend on God. We continue to lean upon God. And see his faithfulness yesterday, today, and forever. And then finally, again, we see that our daily bread needs praying for our necessities in whatever ways that they arise. Whether that means putting actual food on the table tonight, or that means keeping and sustaining us and giving us good health for tomorrow. I think ultimately this prayer really challenges us in our faith. And it really begs the question, are we thankful for the provision? Or are we thankful for the provider? Do we trust in the work that we do in order to earn our way, to earn our keep, to earn the things that we have? Or do we trust in God's grace and God's favor in giving it to us to begin with? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't have to work or that our efforts mean nothing, that it's all God and I don't have to do anything for it. But it does ensure that our focus and our glory aren't on ourselves, but they're given to the one true God who deserves all the glory. And finally, one last thought that I'll leave you guys with is as we learn to depend on God for our daily bread, it reminds us that we also depend on God for our salvation. All right, then it's not about, again, how hard we work, how much we've earned, how much we've saved. It's not about how good we are, how good we've become, or how much, for lack of a better, how much gooder we'll be. But it's all about the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. His work on the cross for our sins and for our salvation. That our daily bread today means nothing if we don't have Jesus Christ as all eternal bread. Again, that's what we're about to do here in just a few minutes as we take communion together. It's a reminder of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to see his body broken for us and his blood spilled so that we would have an opportunity to be reunited with God the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit, all because of our faith in Jesus Christ. So if you're here and you haven't placed your faith in Christ, if you haven't placed your faith and your trust in who Jesus is, then I welcome you to do so today. Do so right now, whenever it is that you're watching this, whenever it is that you're experiencing this, that God is reaching out to you and he desires to be your eternal bread, to be your eternal hope. And if that's you this morning, if you're responding that way, again, feel free. I'll be down here up front after. I'll be in the back after service as well. Find me. I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to dive deeper into what it means to be a follower of Christ, to devote your life to him, to continue to pursue him and his glory in all the things that we do. If you're online, you're watching, our email is in the description. Hit us up, and I promise you somebody will get back to you today. But my challenge for you, if you're here and you've already made that commitment to Christ, if you've already said, I'm devoting my life to him, and see how you can take this bread and pass it on. How can you take this bread of life? How can you take this hope that Christ has given to you? How can you take this bread and share it with the person next to you? How can you take this prayer and go to the next person who needs this prayer? How can you continue to add more people into this us, into this hour, into this community, into this family of God? Continue to take this prayer, grow this prayer within yourself, and let it challenge you and encourage you to take this gospel beyond these walls, beyond ourselves, into the rest of this world. So with that, let me pray for us, and we'll respond in song here as we just cry out as Christ as our foundation, as Christ as our firm foundation of everything that we are, that we continue to depend on Him. So with that, let me pray for us here this morning. Father, again, we thank You and love You and just continue to glorify You, for You are a good God. You are our heavenly Father. And we continue to see time and time again that we can trust in You, we can depend on You. We can grow in You and see Your grace time and time again. And God, we just pray at this moment again, if You're working in the hearts of those who haven't come to know You yet, if You continue to soften those bonds, those chains, if You continue just to work within them, would You give them the courage? Would You give them, again, just You? Would You give them You just to break free from those things and just to come into You, to accept You, to love You, to grow in You? God, in that same way, again, would You give us the words to speak? If we have already committed ourselves, again, give us the words to speak as we interact with our family members, with our friends, with our coworkers, with our fellow students, with the people we interact with in our neighborhoods. Would You give us the words to speak that we continue just to proclaim Your truth, Your goodness, and Your grace to all that we interact with? So God, continue to let us depend on You, to build ourselves up on You, continue to trust in You, to see all eternal hope in You, to continue to seek after You day in and day out as our daily bread, our eternal bread. We do these and pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.